My name is Kevin, and I'm glad you could be here today. We're going to be looking into that thing that we just sang about called the Shema. Do you guys find the concept of everything hard to grasp? Everything? Everything, that's kind of quite a bit. That's kind of a lot. And it's hard to think because everything doesn't seem to have limits. I can get it when it does have limits, though, like when someone offers me a bag of chips, I'll take everything. Like all of it. I love chips. Or pie, give me everything. I'll take it all. But when it comes to something with less definition, like my efforts, like my life, like my time, giving everything is less understandable. It reminds me of eternity. We know what the word means, but we don't understand what the meaning means. Do you know what I mean? We can't fathom it. It's too much for us. Everything is like that, especially when it comes to something that doesn't have limits. Everything is something that seems just out of reach all the time. Have you ever given your everything? I want to show you a picture of what we used to do in Edmonton for fun. This is just a normal Edmonton day. And thank you for that. I don't know who that was, but I'll pretend it was Cindy. And this is me pulling a fire truck. And I want to tell you a bit about this. The fire truck, one of the problems with pulling a fire truck is that they never give you an empty fire truck. It's always full of water. So that's a bit of a challenge because they're on duty when they're there. And at this event, which is fun but terrible, you have 90 seconds maximum to pull the fire truck 100 feet. The course is 100 feet. And so what you have is you have a harness that goes over your shoulders. That's hooked to the fire truck. And you have a big rope that you can pull with. So you use your legs and your arms while you do it. So next slide. And the problem with this is the hardest part, well, no, actually the whole thing's hard, but getting it moving is really difficult. And what's challenging about it is once it's moving, you can't stop moving because if it stops, you'll never get it going again. So for this event, you just got to pull so hard the whole time. If you stop, you know you're done. You'll never get it going again. And you want to get some momentum. So next slide, this is what a guy looks like when he's done. You just had to touch that line, so you make sure you don't stop pulling until you can just barely touch it. And that was a time where I felt like I was pretty close to giving my everything. Like I pulled as hard as I could. At least I thought I had in the moment. But then when you reflect on the event, you go, a little bit of doubt creeps in. It's like, could I have maybe pulled a little bit harder right near the end? Like maybe I had a little more to give. Maybe I could have pulled a little bit harder. Did I really give it my all? You can pull as hard as you can, always think you could have pulled harder. You notice that? You can give your everything, but there is always more that you think you could give. Today we continue in our series through Deuteronomy called Tefillin. And last week we looked at Deuteronomy 6:4, where the Israelites were told more about what God was like, what his character was. They were told that he was one, like we sang in that song. That he was sufficient, that he would stick with them through thick and thin. And today we're picking up where we left off there in verse 4 in Deuteronomy and moving up to verse 5. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Love God with everything, with every aspect of your life. Give him all you've got. Keep on pulling right to the end. Live with no regrets. Love God with everything. This section of scripture is known as the Shema, and it's a very important, pivotal, foundational scripture for our faith. And it was central for Jesus as he reflected in Matthew 22, where he says the Shema when he was questioned by these churchy, religious, kind of stuffy people that are trying to trap him, asking these questions. And he responds and says, the greatest commandment is loving God and loving others. The greatest command. He links those two and calls those two things, loving God and loving others, one thing. The greatest. They're linked because if you love God, you will love others. It's simple. The section of scripture we're looking at today in Deuteronomy is as important for the Jews today as it was for them when it was written. They recite it two times a day, once in the morning and once before bed, every day until the day they die. And if we cheat forward a bit into verse 8, this is what we read about their relationship to this, the Shema. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. So these commands were so important. We have this image of them bound around the forehead and tied to the arms, being worn so that they're always present. And the Jews take this literally. There's this thing called a tefillin, which is like a headband with a box on it that they put the commands in and wear around their head. It kind of looks like a little miner's hat without a lid or without a light. And they're still worn to this day. Love God with everything. Give him all you've got. This is central for us. It's foundational. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. Love God with everything. But I've got to ask, is this even possible? How do we do something so completely, so fully, so wholeheartedly that we call it our everything? It's one thing to pull a fire truck for 90 seconds, but for a lifetime? Love God with everything. Give him your all. Not for 90 seconds, not for one day a week, not for 8 hours a day, but always. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Love him with everything. How do we do that? The truth is, sometimes we are at a place where we just want to love, not with everything, but just with something, with anything. Because it feels like it's all we've got. Because it feels like we are depleted. You ever feel like that? Depleted? It happens. It happens emotionally. It happens physically. It happens spiritually. Sometimes we just feel empty. Life can throw things at us. Stress, job loss, sickness, broken relationships, death, financial troubles. The list doesn't stop and life doesn't stop. Sometimes all we can give is something, not everything. How do you feel about that word, everything? Do you know how to love that way? Do you love your spouse like that, with your everything? The love so much that there's nothing left to give all the time? Sometimes. Once in a while. How many hours a week do you love your spouse with everything? Do you love your children like that? With everything? With your all? When they are complaining and whining? When they are being selfish? When they wreck your stuff? Because we all know kids cost money and wreck your stuff. That's what they do. Do you love your parents like that? Your friends? Your neighbors? Even yourself? Do you love with everything ever? I want to suggest that none of us do. None of us know how, are capable, or have the ability of loving with everything. None of us are able to fully and completely keep this command. I succeed sometimes with my wife, very often, kids, and friends, and it feels pretty good. You just want to say, nailed it. That was awesome. But I also fail. Sometimes I'm too interested in my own feelings, in my own agenda, in my own life. Sometimes, this might surprise you, I even get annoyed. Whoa. Anyone relate to that? You ever get annoyed? Not many of you. Maybe you're wondering where I'm coming from. Because maybe you thought, my job is to give you a secret way to keep this command. My job is to give you a trick. Or give you some Hebrew nuance with a flourish that suddenly makes it all come together and your life perfectly fit together like a Tetris puzzle. Maybe this verse calls for me to get you guys all pumped up and get us jazzed and give us some strategies and this energy going out. But instead, you've got this Debbie Downer named Kevin Green telling you that he doesn't think you can actually give your everything. Is that bad news? You want to know one of the tragedies of our human existence? No matter how much we desire to be loved, no matter how good the people around us are, no matter how hard they try to love us, they will always come up short. We will never be loved as fully and completely and as intimately as we desire. No one here can love us with their everything. We can love well. We can love sacrificially. We can love amazingly. But it will never be that everything that this verse talks about. It's one of the tragedies of our human existence. But there is some good news. The good news here is that God is love. If we look at 1 John 4:8, it says God is love. That's who he is. It's what he does. It's his essence. He's full of love. God loves us with his everything. He loves us in such a way that we can never, ever fully match. We can never love him that fully. So that being his essence, does it really surprise you that this is what he wants? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Is this even possible? No, and yes. How are we to love him? Like he loved us. He loved us with his everything. So we love him with our everything, or at least we try. There's something we need to remember, always. It's foundational to our faith. Grace is always previous to faith. We consistently overestimate our ability, our resources, to draw ourselves near to God. We consistently overestimate our role in this relationship with God. God loves us with everything, and we love him in response. Grace is always previous to faith. God sends his grace and he reaches out and we grasp his hand. It's the only way, and we respond to him in love. The more we respond to him, the more we hold on to that hand, the more we're able to love. And God recognizes that we can't love perfectly. That's why there's this thing called grace. And God pours it out and he calls us in. And you know how we're able to love God? We love because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. It's always in response. John 13:34 says, "Love as I have loved you." The direction is really important. It's not love so that you are loved. It's love because you are loved. The more we understand and feel and appreciate that love, the more our capacity to love increases. Is it possible to love God with our everything? No. And yes. The no part is that we're not perfect. and we're incapable of loving perfectly. The no part is that we actually don't have the ability to love with our everything. But the yes part, our ability doesn't matter. We love God because he loved us. That's what God wants from us, our love. He makes it happen. His love covers our inability to love him perfectly. You know, that even in the Old Testament, God didn't want this slavish obedience to the law and his commands. He wanted people's hearts. We've got this misconception about the Old Testament that was all about this slavish obedience. There's a book in the Old Testament called Hosea. It's a book about this prophet named Hosea, and the whole book is a call to repentance for Israel. It's a call to Israel that God wants them to come back to him. It's a demonstration that no matter how bad it gets, God will always love them. And here's the mistake that we can make. We think following the rules is good enough. But no. This is what God says through the prophet Hosea. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. You know, God has always been this way. He's never wanted emptiness, obedience, law-keeping, conformity. He wants our everything because he wants our love. That's what God is like. He's the God of love. He is love. So the yes is this. As we are loved, we give him our love, and our ability increases. Ever wonder what that love looks like? There's a lot of discussion about this word love in the Shema, love the Lord your God. People look at this word and see different things. And what I observe, what I've read, is that there are many people who really, really want this word love here to mean something other than a feeling. Kind of like dedication, good service, commitment, respect, good behavior. They really want it to mean command-keeping, sacrifice, duty. I really don't know why. Maybe it's because we're a culture that's suspicious of emotions. Maybe it suits a Christianity that is more propositional than experiential. Maybe it suits a faith that it's defined by conformity more than passion. Who knows? But I don't think it's right. Love means actions if it means doing of every aspect of our lives. And it's hopeless for us because we can never attain that. When we read this and see that we are to love God with our everything, it means a response that wells up from deep, deep within ourselves. A response of deep, deep emotion. That's what the love means. It's a heart issue. I think it's pretty definitive. I looked through scriptures using this exact word in other places, and let me tell you about a few ways this word is used. It will help us understand how it's used here. Let's start with Genesis 22:2. You probably know the story is Abraham and his son Isaac. One of the most heartrending scenes, emotional scenes in the Bible. This is Genesis 22:2. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Whom you love so much. It's an emotion. It hurts so much because of the tragedy and the feeling. The words used all over the book of Hosea where the prophet falls in love with a prostitute who represents Israel. He can't help himself. Despite all the hurt she causes him, he continues to love her. Same word. And if you're not convinced yet, let me direct you to the use of this word in another book that might cause some of you to blush, the Song of Solomon. I picked carefully what aspect and what setting and context I use this word love, but here's two, buckle up. Song of Songs 3:1. One night as I lay in bed, I yearn for my lover. Same word. I yearn for him, but he did not come. And one more just for fun. Then scarcely had I left them when I found my love. I caught him and held him tightly. This isn't a word with no emotion and no feeling. This is what God wants. He wants our love. He doesn't want perfection. He knows we can't give that. He wants our hearts. The emotional component of our relationship with God is important. It's challenging, but it's important. God wants us to feel. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. He wants the heart of this church. Please don't hear me say that our faith is all about emotion. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it would be a pretty sour marriage if it was just a contract. I know it's our anniversary, Cindy. I brought you some flowers. It's my duty. It would be pretty sad. Or your kids, happy birthday. I wish you prosperity and success. Take this golden watch. Good luck as you step out. Yes, we are called to be a people of action, but the action starts with a reaction. It has to. The action starts with a reaction to the love that was offered to us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Give him your all. Give him everything. You know what the yes part is? God wants our hearts. We may fall, we may stumble, we may fail, but that's not it. He knows that. We need to accept it. Because the good news is, it's impossible to keep the command, the law, but by the grace of God. He loved us so that we can love him. He wants our hearts. This is what God is like, the one who emptied himself. This is how he has revealed himself. This is how he has made himself known to us. This is what he wants, because this is what he is like. He wants your love. You want to love God with your everything? How about you start with something? How about we start by knowing that we are loved so that we love? How about we start by taking the idols in our lives, the other gods, and throwing them out the door? How about we start by making God's priorities our priorities instead of making our priorities God's priorities? How about we start by living each day as a sacrifice, as a love offering to the one who sends love? How about realizing that good deeds, living right, flows out of the fruits of the Spirit, and the greatest of which is love? Love is the starting point. You know what the secret of the kingdom is? That when you lose your life, you will truly find it. That when you let go, you learn what it means to hang on. That when you give, you receive. Imagine if we could live that way. Live life in the fullness of God. Approach every moment as precious. Live in thankfulness. Live in gratitude. Live as life is a gift. Love with everything and live with everything. Amen.